everybody. Here we are at the Green Room, our Michigan State podcast here at the Detroit News. Apparently, they're going to play some football this weekend, so we figured why not? We might as well get back into having a regular podcast. I know it's been sporadic, as many things have been, but here we are. The Big Ten football season's upon us. I, of course, am Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News, joined by Tony Paul, my positive, always glass-half-full colleague.
Absolutely.
How you doing, man?
Good, you? How's your golf game?
Well, you should know, since we played Inverness last week.
Yeah, it was a rough day for both of us.
Your front was way better than mine, and my back was, I think, better than yours.
It was. I think you still owe me $5, but we'll
oh, yeah, that's that. Right.
We'll get that squared away.
If anyone wants to know what it's like to play out of a bunker on 17 of 18 holes, I can tell you.
I could, too. I'm pretty sure I took 20 hacks out of the Inverness bunkers last week. Nice course, tough course. I was trying to think back. I think it's the first time I've been over 100 in about 15 years. So it was humbling. And for being over 100, I actually hit the ball pretty well.
That should tell people about the level of course, in case anybody listening cares. They will be playing the Solheim Cup there next fall. And that is the women's version of the Ryder Cup. We're golf nerds. We love it. You should go. Mm-hmm. It's a great time, whatever.
Yes. Do you want to tell people how pissy you were on the front nine?
I was pretty grumpy. I'm not going to lie. Because like you said, I didn't feel like, especially at least the first two or three holes, I was hitting the ball okay. But the course is so hard, the scores were not good. And so that got me angry. And then I was hitting it like you know what. And I said,
Then he threatened to quit on the back nine. And
I said I wasn't going to make the turn. I was just going to work and Tony could finish. And then I parred number nine, hit the ball solid a few times. I thought, okay. We'll finish.
The funny thing about golf, it keeps you coming back. You know, it's funny. Parred 9 and 18, I believe.
Yes, I did.
So it keeps you coming back. I think I made a 7 on 9 and a 9 on 18. So you beat me on those two holes. So
yeah, to you. Good thing for you, 18 was your last hole. You might have.
I had enough. It was cold and it was just a long day and it was a nice course, tough course. They want to get another U.S. Open there. They haven't had one in since the 70s. I don't know. I think that Oakland Hills is probably still a little bit better equipped for a U.S. Open, but we'll see.
You're partial to the home course, aren't you?
Well, I am. And I also think that what I like about Oakland Hills compared to Inverness, and Inverness is very difficult and very good course. Don't get me wrong. But Oakland Hills, what I like is it's right there in front of you. It's just a beast right in front of you. It's just a tough nuts and bolts golf course where there's some weird turns in Inverness that I know there's some holes where you hit the fairway and you still can't see the green on a par four. You know, it's there's some weird holes, but
there is.
So that I just like the layout of Oakland Hills better. And I also think Oakland Hills is probably a little bit better equipped for the infrastructure with the fans and then also the hotels and the area. I just think that Oakland Hills has a big edge there. So I think I would expect Oakland Hills to get a U.S. Open before Inverness, but that's just me.
Well, we can only hope. We can only hope. So
yes, as much as we want this to be a golf podcast.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a good segue into Michigan State, and I don't know any members. I'm sure there are many Spartan members. I just don't know any. Yeah. So we'll just say to hell with it. We don't have a good segue.
No, we have none. No segue.
Something yet. I can say the weather we played golf in was more like football weather. Yeah. We're going to play football on Saturday. And judging by the forecast, it looks like the weather will be about the same, just out of kind of cold. The sun might actually be out Saturday. We'll see. But obviously Michigan State kicks off at noon against Rutgers. And as we talked about on the college football show on the Detroit News, here's my little plug. You should check that out with myself and Woj and John Neo and Angelique Chingalis.
My invitation slipped through the mail, I think, on that one.
Yeah, we don't want you on there. Yeah, sorry. But anyway, basically what we concluded is we have no idea what's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to see. And the interesting thing is it's not just with Michigan State, because Rutgers is in the same boat, almost the same, not exactly the same boat, because Greg Schiano has been around at Rutgers. He's obviously the new coach there. They've had their own issues with COVID like Michigan State did. They had to shut down for a while. Spring practice was an issue for them as well. So it's interesting that you have these two teams, two new staffs that we haven't really seen hardly anything. I mean, what am I talking about? Hardly anything. We haven't seen a single thing from Michigan State for sure. since Mel Tucker was hired. So we're kind of going off of the few interviews we've had with Mel Tucker, the few assistant coaches, a handful of players, and it's been a little tough to get a whole lot of information out of them. They haven't named a starting quarterback. We're not sure who's starting on where on defense. We're not sure what sort of defenses they're playing. So, in other words, I'm not sure how much we can break down this game.
Yeah, you haven't seen anything. You've seen, I will say, for Michigan State so far is a bunch of Zoom backgrounds. That's about all you've seen of them.
I will say this. This will make this probably the most interesting opener I've been to in a long time, because I feel like next week at this time, we're going to have 8 million things to talk about and digest, because it's all been under wraps till now. So, but I will say, I think the schedulers certainly did Michigan State a favor in kind of saying, yeah, how about we open you at home with Rutgers, you know, as opposed
in Piscataway, they're saying, boy, the schedule makers did you a favor by opening you up against Michigan State.
Right. And that's probably the best way they could have done it, other than maybe playing Maryland, or that's about it. And, you know, I think when they redid the schedule the first time, Michigan State was supposed to open at Minnesota, like Michigan's doing, and that would have been rough. I mean, Minnesota, I think, is probably going to win the West. So this is probably the best case scenario for Michigan State. Right. Again, what we're going to see, I think, obviously, everyone wants to know about the quarterback.
Right.
And right now, we don't know anything about the quarterback. And I feel like 2 years ago, you know, when they were trotting Lewerke out there with a half of an arm, couldn't physically make the throws, I said back then, that tells me more about Rocky Lombardi than Brian Lewerke. They weren't comfortable playing him then when he was the healthy guy. Are we seeing more of that now? Is he not the starter already because he's just not getting it done and the other guys look better? I don't know. Or are the other two guys just not very good and they're kind of up in the air who it's going to be? We're speculating, obviously, but I think that's the biggest thing people want to see Saturday is who's it going to be. I tend to think you're going to see more than one quarterback, maybe all three of them. I don't know.
Well, break it down. Who do you got? You got Lombardi, and break it down for me in 2 minutes or less.
All right. Well, Rocky Lombardi, obviously, most people know, fourth-year junior.
He's going to probably start the game.
I would bet he probably starts. I mean, he started three times in 2018. He had that win against Purdue, but if you really look at the numbers and how he played, yeah, he wasn't exactly, setting the world on fire. And then Theo Day, your I guess, third-year sophomore at this point, played a handful of snaps last year. Really didn't see him play at all. And then Peyton Thorne, the redshirt freshman, he's kind of like that backup. I think of Damian Terry in 2013. Everyone was screaming for Damian Terry, even though they hadn't seen the kid play a single down. We haven't seen Peyton Thorne play a single down, but everyone's like, Peyton Thorne's the next big thing. And maybe he is, but it's based off of nothing other than what people say and what they've supposedly heard about the guy. I will say the former coaching staff was very high on Peyton Thorne last year, running scout team and all that, and they had a lot of high expectations. Are we going to see that this year? I don't know. But I tend to believe we're going to see more than one quarterback on Saturday, and maybe all three of those guys. And at that point, I think then we can start making a few conclusions. Because the offensive coordinator, Jay Johnson, said a couple weeks ago, he's open to this thing, you know, this quarterback competition, I guess, going into the season, which it apparently is going to be. And if you're looking at the positive side, the glass half full side, the last time Michigan State did this in 2013, it ended up with a pretty decent quarterback named Connor Cook. I'm not saying that's the conclusion here. Certainly that team was a lot better. But I don't think we're going
to
have
it. You heard it here first. Michigan State is going to the Rose Bowl. That's what you heard.
Well, that's nothing like what I said.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
That team also happened to have one of the best defenses in the history of the program. That's not what we're going to see here, because, you know, here's the thing. We're talking – all the attention is going to be a quarterback, and I get it, and it makes sense, and that's a big deal. But the bigger issues are over on defense. There are way many more holes to fill over there. I mean, they got three starters back. That's it. And outside of Antwon Simmons and Xavier Henderson, Jacob Panasuk at defensive end, there's all sorts of questions around that defense. Let me ask you this. Think about the last time Michigan State didn't know who their middle linebacker was going into the year. I mean, we're going back. I mean, Greg Jones was the guy, and you knew he was getting followed by Max Bulla. And then you knew Max was getting followed by his brother Riley. And you knew Riley was getting followed by Joe Bocci. There was never an uncertainty. Now we don't have any idea who it's going to be. We're not even sure if they're going to be using a middle linebacker. They might be running more 3-4 than we are used to seeing. So that's where we're at. That's how we're breaking this down. We don't know what's happening. I can give you a million names to keep an eye on, a bunch of guys they have high expectations for. But until we actually see it, and the other thing too, they're not telling us which guy, how many guys, or if there are any are out because of COVID.
Right.
At this point, you'd have to expect there's some, because we get, you know, we get the results from Michigan State every week, but they don't break it down by sport. It's just out of the entire athletic department. So how many of those guys are, how many guys are in the two deep normally that can't play this week?
Right. Well, that's obviously going to be something that we're going to watch for much of the season, probably the entire season. COVID numbers are on the rise
pretty much
everywhere in the country, especially in the Midwest and Michigan. I mean, Michigan just shut down. Basically, all their students are under a two-week stay-home order, except for the football team, which gets to go to Minnesota. Problem is, they've got a Minnesota team that P.J. Fleck basically has acknowledged is dealing with COVID cases as well. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be dealing with this. It's going to be a major theme throughout the season. You're going to see games postponed, maybe canceled. You've already seen it everywhere in the country, and the numbers are only rising. So it's going to be something we're going to be paying very close attention to throughout the year. But for now, we're just excited that we're getting some football back. We've been watching, you know, the SEC came back recently, and all the other conferences are on their way back. The MAC is coming back as well. So we're getting football. That's
turn your phone off.
I know.
Was that an alert?
My dad's calling me.
I thought it was an alert to tell you the season was starting.
I know. So anyway, we get football. That's exciting. Michigan State, Rutgers at home Saturday. Michigan's at Minnesota Saturday night. DetroitNews.com today, you did a mailbag. You talked a little bit about the quarterback situation. You also talked about my favorite topic, which is the opening music of Thunderstruck, which has been there since forever. And by forever, I mean since I was in school, and I hear that might change. We talked about this last time, and you say you think it's going to change. What might they possibly change it to?
Well, maybe we're going to use dog barking.
I know, my
in the
dogs
background.
Are barking. This is just a mess. This podcast, I think that's a sign we shouldn't do it anymore.
No. See, this is the life in 2020, man.
I know. It's like you're at home and you're at the mercy of garbage trucks outside and dogs barking and whatever.
I'm surprised I haven't had a kid walk in asking me for something.
Money.
Yeah, usually money. But I think it's funny you're all hung up on Thunderstruck.
I like traditions. Whatever. I
don't know if I call Thunderstruck a tradition. You know, going back to your days, I don't know if we can.
Well, that's 20 years. 20 years. I mean, that's.
Jeez, you're old. Oh, my gosh.
What did they play when you were, like, when you were at school? What did they play? Like,
I don't know. I didn't go to games.
60s music?
I honestly don't remember. They were terrible when my last year? When did Perlis get fired?
I don't know. Saban started in 95.
Yeah, so George's last year was my last year. So they were pretty bad. So we didn't go to a lot of games. And plus, they didn't have the big fancy screens and everything like they got now. Yeah.
I was fortunate. They got pretty good right as I got there. My first game was a Thursday night game, I believe. The season opener of 99, who they beat. I think they beat Oregon and Joe Harrington. That was my first game. And then they had the big win over Notre Dame that year. Mm-hmm. They beat Michigan that year. That was when Michigan and Michigan State both were undefeated going into that game. So we had some good. I saw the good and the bad. I think my last year was Bobby Williams' last stand at Michigan Stadium, which was the only time I've ever sat in the stands at Michigan Stadium for that game, which was an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, but they got pretty good as they got there. But Thunderstruck, I don't know. I like it.
I think it's going to be something different. Only because
I guess it doesn't really matter this year anyway because
nobody's going to be there.
I mean, no one's going to care.
But Mel Tucker had said before he wants to freshen up the playlist. During the game? Does that mean before? Sounds to me like he wants to change things up. Again, not that it's going to matter. No one's going to be there.
Well, hey, it's his program. It's his prerogative. Yeah. That's fine. It's all about what's on the field. So you guys also at DetroitNews.com today, you and Angelique, of course, your colleague who covers the other school down the road. Lojo and Neo, y'all made your predictions for the season. That was pleasant. I was not pleasantly surprised. I was surprised that there weren't any horrific predictions. I don't want to spoil it because it's on DetroitNews.com. You can go check them out. The predictions is subscriber only story. So bust out your $3.
Oh, whatever.
You can get 3 months worth of coverage from Detroit.
Look, you should do that anyway, but I'm going to still tell people what I predicted.
Well, you can, but we're not going to talk about the others. But I will say the overall predictions were not horrific, which kind of surprised me because you and I have talked. I'm more down on where this program is at this point. I think Tucker was a fine hire when they missed out on Luke Fickell. I think that was the best they could have hoped for. I think it was a home run hire under the circumstances. But I think that it's still pretty bare. So I'm a little bit more pessimistic, but you guys were not. I mean, you don't have any 7-1s in there, but just explain your thinking. I think you were what, 4-4 or something like that?
Yeah, I'm at 4-4, and I feel like Rutgers, Maryland, Northwestern are games you have to win. Even with the holes we're talking about, you're still in better position than those programs are. You should be winning those games. All right. My toss-up right now is Indiana, because Indiana's a good team. They just haven't ever been able to beat Michigan State. So that's why right now I believe Michigan State is truly better than Maryland, Rutgers, Northwestern. They'll win those games. I don't think they're better than Indiana right now, but there's something about that matchup that I think they can win. And the weird thing is, outside of Ohio State and Penn State, which I absolutely do not think Michigan State has any chance of winning those games. They're way behind talent-wise. It's just not going to happen. I wouldn't say there's no way that they can beat Iowa and there's no way they can beat Michigan. I don't think they're going to. I think they'll be an underdog in those games, and I'd pick the other team. But I'll tell you what. So your first three games are Rutgers, Michigan, Iowa. What if they come out of that three games 2-1? I don't think they will. I'll predict them to be 1-2. But if you're telling me today they're coming out of that 2-1, I'm not sitting here going, you're crazy.
No.
Am I crazy for saying that?
No, probably not. I mean, and you know, you also have to take into account that it's just a weird year. It's a short season.
Yeah.
There's been short preparation. You're going to have players missing because of COVID. You might have star players missing because of COVID. I mean, what if one of these big teams has 4 big-name players missing because of COVID? I mean, you don't know. It's really a crapshoot. So I'm not saying you're nuts for saying that they're going to be 4-4 or whatever. It could happen. I just, I think it's a little bare. I'm not as optimistic that they're going to win, the Northwestern game. That's just me.
Wait. Why? Just because you saw Northwestern last year, right?
Yeah, I also saw Michigan State, which I didn't think. I'm just saying.
Michigan State won 7 games. Northwestern won 2.
That's okay.
What am I missing?
That's okay. I'm just not optimistic. That's just me. But you cover the team a lot closer than I do, so you might be right. I just don't think there's a lot with this team. But again, with some of the bigger games, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if things go haywire, for some of those big showdown games because of extenuating circumstances that are out of their control.
Yeah, the other thing too is I'm going to be curious what, as we know, there's going to be no fans for now. The Michigan State's not even going to have bands, cheerleaders, nothing. Used to be going to Iowa, that's a really tough place to play.
Right.
Now there's going to be nobody there.
Right.
How does that change things? How does it change things at Michigan? Even though Michigan's not a terribly loud stadium, you just wonder how that environment changes the way guys think and feel and see. And that's not just going to affect Michigan State. It's going to affect them all. So
it's different. It's different. Yeah. And by the way, you talked about that Michigan game, which is the second game of the year, which is Halloween. You got Michigan shut down basically because of COVID. You got huge spikes in Ann Arbor, huge spikes in East Lansing. You got the mayors of both cities basically saying, please don't come and infect the rest of our city. I'm wondering what's going to happen with that game. I think it's going to be played, but I was talking with someone yesterday when Michigan shut down. I just wonder if they move that game to a neutral site, perhaps a site in Detroit.
Where might that be?
I don't know. I'm just curious if that comes to pass. It wouldn't shock me if that happened.
Yeah.
They've got major issues in Ann Arbor and East Lansing right now. The numbers are through the roof. It's not good. And so I'll be interested to see what happens. But that's next week's podcast when we can talk about the huge rivalry. This week is Rutgers. Not as exciting, but again, Big Ten football's here. So that in itself, any live sports is good live sports at this
point. We'll take it. I'm not fired up to see MSU Rutgers, but again, it's the best case scenario for Michigan State, I think, for sure.
So where are they going to stick you guys? Do you guys get to go in the stadium?
Yeah, we'll be in the press box, but I know it's going to be limited. They're not handing out nearly as many credentials. I don't know the firm number.
Yeah, Michigan's the same way.
Yeah, and they, because I had some communication with them the other day about where I'd prefer to sit, because since they're going to be moving, spreading you out, you're going to be kind of different area than you used to be.
You know, if I were you, I'd prefer to sit in my home in Heartland for those games. I don't know.
I'm just saying there is value to being there. There are things you see.
Oh yeah.
You sure. Just simply don't see on TV. And I'd hate to kind of lose that.
Right.
You're right in terms of interviewing people and whatnot. That's, we could do that from the other side of the world at this point.
Right.
Here's the other thing too. I found through this, it's like maybe they're going to start changing things the way they do this. And then the more I've been into it, it's like, no, you can't have a real conversation with people on Zoom. It just feels weird.
Unless it's one-on-one. A presser's weird. The pressers on Zoom are weird. They're uncomfortable. Yeah. They're awkward for everybody. But if you get one-on-one interviews on there, they're fine. Those work. But
well, plus the way we get player availability usually at Michigan State is, you know, after a practice during the week, and it's just like, all right, here's the 10, 12, whatever guys that were requested. Yeah. And they're just hanging around and you talk to us. Now to do that is impossible in this setup. You might get a couple guys a week, that's it. And don't even get me going on basketball, because God bless Michigan State hoops on that. They're still an open, you know, you can go talk to whoever you want. You go to the locker room. Well, that's all going to be out the window too, so. Yeah, you can get by with this stuff, but it's not ideal. So could I do it from home? Sure.
Right.
But I don't think it'll be as good. We'll miss, especially when early on you're trying to figure who's out there with all this stuff. Is there someone not on the field that you're expecting? Wait a minute, are they in the COVID deal? Who knows? So I think it's going to be able to help to be there and see everything that's going on. And
yeah, and limited credentials will be nice at U of M. It was funny. I was thinking about this the other day when, because all those videos started popping up of that 5-year anniversary of the game, the punt, you know, the missed punt heard around the world, and Jalen Watts Jackson, one of the greatest scenes ever in Michigan State history. But you and I were at that game, and I didn't realize how many non-legitimate media people were in that press box until that happened, and you like started hearing wails and tears and shrieks. Yeah. And it's like you wonder where am I in a press box here or no? So I think Michigan will have an easier time cutting down on who gets.
Well,
who gets
they a might.
Pass and who doesn't?
It's not like there isn't some fat to trim at Michigan State too. And again, this isn't special to Michigan or Michigan
everywhere.
State.
No.
Every college team. I mean, go to Notre Dame. Holy Moses!
But it really stood out that day 5 years ago on the punt. I mean,
there were some upset folks that day.
There were literal wails and shrieks and oh my God, what, like someone got murdered or something. It was kind of embarrassing, quite frankly. I mean, but
I don't even remember. I was too
You were too busy trying to write a damn story, which God bless you. I mean, the game was, I mean, that was probably one of the top five moments I've ever seen in person, just for, you know, austerity's sake. But
I can't imagine one higher for me.
No, I mean, I guess if you were at, you know, some of the Tigers, you know, the Maglio home run or something like that.
I watched that from the bar of a wedding reception. I was at a wedding. It was in this one of these halls that has, it wasn't really set up for it. They had one little bar in the corner with a small, like 20-inch TV. And like every guy in the stinking place was crowded around this TV. So I caught a small glimpse of it. So,
yeah. I mean, if you were at that one, or I was talking today about, because baseball, you know, they've done this, they've changed the rules this year, and now Rob Manfred wants to keep some of these stupid rules, like keeping the runner on second base.
No.
I mean, this is not high school softball. I mean, and And I was pointing out that one of the greatest sports moments I ever witnessed was that Carlos Guillen home run at 3:30 in the morning in the 11th inning against the Yankees. One of the most memorable moments that I can recall, you know, seeing in sports. And that would probably wouldn't have happened with the, you know, with the international tiebreaker runner out there. And that is just stupid.
If we had to have a – what if there was a weird COVID time rule for college football? What should it be?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I mean, just do a field goal kicking contest and just keep going back 5 yards until, you know, someone misses or something. I don't know.
That could happen quickly in college football.
See, I just think that, you know, that the effort to try to limit the natural outcomes of games is just bizarre. Like, I hate ties. I mean, look at some of the Stanley Cup playoff, you know, hockey games have gone into triple overtime or whatever. And I mean, I'm not a hockey fan, and those games are exciting. And baseball, well, extra inning games, a 17 inning game, and natural outcome is okay. You know,
that's why I hate hockey regular season, this 3-on-3 nonsense, and then shootouts. It's like, you know what? It's a regular season. It's hockey. You want to have a tie? Just have a damn tie then.
Right.
Why do we got to do this silliness?
Have a natural outcome. I just don't understand why people are so against that. Baseball would be dumb to change that one.
Yeah, I don't want them to do that.
I'm okay with the expanded playoffs. The playoffs have been fun this year, actually. Surprisingly fun for what I've watched. But anyway, game two tonight of the World Series. I'm excited about that.
I watched a lot of the game last night. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's the World Series. I mean, and it's two interesting teams. Probably time.
You know what? It took me a little while to realize that they were in Arlington.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Dodgers, and apparently the Dodgers have been playing all along.
Yeah. Playing for it all in Arlington.
Shows you how dialed I've been into the baseball.
Well, it's good for Clayton Kershaw, because you know he grew up in Dallas, and you know who was his good friend when he grew up.
I never heard that. Wait, who?
Can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess that's enough with football. What do you think for a score? I don't know. I'm gonna go 28-14.
I was thinking 27-17, but Neil made a good point today too that even in the NFL, where there's so much uncertainty in the preparation, that the defense, there's been so many mistakes defensively that scores have been a lot higher. And so that might happen too. You just haven't had a lot of practice time and some guys covering the wrong guy and some, you know, so I still think Michigan State wins, but maybe it's a higher number from that sort of stuff. But I don't know if they cover the 13. I think they win by like 10, something like that.
Wow, they're 13 points. Huh? Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't put a lot of money on that one.
How'd you like to be an odds maker for all these first week Big Ten games?
It's impossible, but you know what? Watch the numbers, and they'll come out smelling like roses. They always do. These guys are sick. They're sick.
They are.
Well, that's good. What else is going on, Michigan State world? Well, there was some news today.
Basketball started last week. Isn't this weird? Here's the weird thing about this, and Matt Allen was talking about it last night. He's like, normally when it's cold out and it's dark when we get out of practice, we're like 6 weeks into the season. He's like, we're just practicing for the opener now. It's weird. I don't know what's going on. And same with basketball practice has started. We haven't played a football game yet. It's very odd times. But and basketball starting practice without a schedule still.
Exactly.
We know when they're scheduled. We know when they're allowed. Yeah. We know when they're allowed to start. Who knows exactly when? There's a lot of things you could guess what it's going to be. But nothing set in stone at this point. So they're kind of practicing for a beginning that might begin at a certain time. I don't know. And it's weird because normally they have a couple, 3 weeks of practice. They have a little scrimmage in there. They have some preseason.
The secret scrimmages, which never were a secret anyway. But
no,
they're not allowed to do those right now. And so they're basically doing inter-squad. Everyone's doing inter-squad scrimmages. So it's different. But big season for Michigan State, though. They got a good regular season. We'll put them in Detroit again for the first two rounds. So
is that this year?
Yeah, that's this year.
I thought it was next year.
Well, this year, Little Caesars Arena. Well, you're thinking that because there was no tournament last year. The first two rounds are at Little Caesars Arena, and then Little Caesars Arena gets a regional in a couple couple of years after that. So that's
that'll exciting. Be fun. Well, yeah, Michigan State fans, Michigan State fans got to hope if they end up in Detroit, it goes better than the last time they were in Detroit.
Yeah, hopefully there's no Jim Boeheim to spoil the party. He ruins everything.
Yeah, he ruins most press conferences too, but
whatever. he ruins fun.
Yeah, he's kind of stick in the mud. By the way, real quick aside, in the basketball world, some kind of shocking breaking.
Yeah, not shocking, but it's not. You could once you start hearing the reports a couple months ago, this was inevitable. Given, I mean, it's just inevitable. You know.
Yeah, but Patrick Chambers of Penn State is out with. He stepped down, but it sounds like it was kind of forced. I know how many people saw a few weeks, maybe a couple months ago now, some reports a player had transferred and talked about the treatment and him using he was a black player, and Chambers said something about a noose. I don't remember the exact phrase he used allegedly, but it became a thing. So apparently there was an internal investigation that has kind of led to some more stuff potentially, and Patrick Chambers stepped down. So.
By the way, can we just take a second to acknowledge that an internal investigation actually led to something? That's so rare.
Most internal investigations by universities get us out of this. Yeah,
pay the lawyers and move on.
Yeah.
That's big news today. We're recording this on Wednesday, but that's big news. Puts Penn State in a little bit of a bind moving forward. I mean, this was supposed to be the year that he reached that point where he'd finally turn the program into a potential winner. Interesting stuff there.
Other interesting news too, in Michigan State world.
Oh, yes.
We're just going to go ahead and say that Peter Sekhia died today. This is Wednesday.
83 years old.
83 years old.
Michigan State booster.
Big Michigan State booster.
Yeah.
If anyone who's seen, his name's on a lot of stuff around there.
Yeah.
If you've been to any basketball games, he sits center court. Big booster of the program. Obviously, former ambassador to Italy. Big philanthropist. He did give a lot to people in Grand Rapids and the state.
No, sure.
Big in the Republican Party in Michigan. But passed away today, so there's a lot of people in Michigan State bummed out about that. And we won't get into a lot of some of the other stuff. And
He was not a fan of ours. He was a stark defender of the university and the athletic program, and anything negative that was written or published about the programs didn't sit well with him. And you and I have done some investigative work that has not sat well with a lot of people there, and he was one of the most outspoken critics. He also made some unfortunate comments during the whole Larry Nassar scandal that didn't sit well with a lot of people. He died today, 83 years old, made an impact in a lot of different areas of his life, and gave a lot of money to the university and really, his name's on the softball stadium. And, he was a big booster and a big defender. And I guess that's what you would expect a booster and a defender to do, would be boost and defend the programs. And when we wrote negative things, perceived negative things about the university, Peter Sekhia was one of the men who let us have it. And
I'll say this,
he was filling his role, if you will.
I'll say this too. We're not the only people he gave a time to, but, part of this, I get you're immersed in a university like that. You get a little defensive, and that's whatever. I'm not complaining about it. It's just is what it is. And you see his name. I'll say this, without Peter Sekhia, a lot of the improvements they've had around that department don't happen.
He gave $1 million bucks to the softball, and he gave another $3.5 million a couple of years later for a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
He's given millions and, made a big impact on Michigan State. It's funny because we never actually had an actual phone conversation face to face. But we did play phone tag once during one of these investigations. He did direct two words at me one time, and I'll leave those two words to your imagination. You're right. I mean, huge booster. And again, look, that's what boosters and ambassadors for universities do. They defend and boost their universities. So no issue here. 83 years old, COVID played a role.
Wear your damn mask.
Yeah, wear your mask. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, look, I have glasses. They fog up. It sucks. You put the glasses on top of your head. But, these numbers aren't – it's not going to magically disappear. I'm pretty sure we're past the point of it magically disappearing.
Right,
so,
and if we want to keep –
wear a mask.
if we want to keep talking about games being played, we better get on it, because as we said, there's no basketball schedule yet. Yeah. No guarantee there has to be one.
Well, this whole U of M situation, which the Washtenaw County Health officials yesterday gave them a 2-week stay-at-home order for all students. And there was rumblings today that these numbers were spiking because of parties. I was in college, we partied a lot. Look, we partied a lot, but man, if you want, it feels like you want the world to get back to normal. With a mask, it's not that hard. I just don't understand it. But anyway, Peter Sagia, 83, Elizabeth LeBarque for the Detroit News has an obituary on him with lots of reaction from his former cohorts at Michigan State. And from John Engler, a good friend of his, and the Ford family, he was a good friend of Gerald Ford. So that obituary is online at DetroitNews.com. Check that out. You can also check out Matt, who was busy today. He wrote an MSU mailbag for the first time. Well, I don't know why we call these mailbags anymore. I can't remember the last time I got a handwritten letter. but you had some good stuff in there. That's online at DetroitNews.com.
What should we call them?
I don't know. I'm not that creative. I like to bitch about things. I just have no solutions. That's more my walk in life here. also predictions, U of M and MSU predictions. And we're going to have tons of college football preview stuff throughout the week at DetroitNews.com. Some of it you can read for free, but why do that when you can pay $3 and get access to everything that we have to offer, which is a lot of good stuff and a lot of
it is a steep price.
We do have a hard bargain. I mean, a 25-year free trial run, and now we're charging $3 for 3 months. I know it's got to send shockwaves through the system, but we hope you're coping with that. other than that, I think we can wrap. We don't have a whole lot to say. Next week will be a bigger one. Obviously, we'll talk about the big rivalry game, but it'll just be good to see some football.
There'll be a lot to talk. Football. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a rivalry to preview and then try and talk about everything we will probably see on Saturday, and it'll probably be a lot of stuff. So plenty to do next week.
All right, that's it for this episode of The Green Room. No idea what episode it is.
it used to be your thing, and now Tony doesn't even know what episode it is.
No freaking clue what episode this is. Look, we had all these grand plans to keep this podcast rolling through COVID, and we tried. But you know what? We got busy with other stuff. I mean, our workloads have increased at the news over this time. Our personal lives have changed, obviously, with everything going on at home, especially with you and the Brady Bunch over there. So it's been tough to keep the podcast rolling. But now we finally have some football back, so we'll keep doing it. We will promise you we'll get some guests, and we'll keep this thing going as long as you want it. We hope you enjoy it. That's it for this week. Again, check out Matt's stuff at DetroitNews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Charbonneau. You can follow me on Twitter if you dare, but I wouldn't follow me until after November 3rd, Tony Paul, 1984. And that's it for this week. Matthew, good night.
That's it for me. See ya.